Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Okay, well, today's hot topic is a pretty interesting one. It actually is going to convict a lot of us as pastors. Here's the question. Here's the hot topic. Do preachers, pastors, do they truly preach the full, complete gospel of salvation? That's a very interesting question. And today on the panel, I have Jovan Stojcetovic, who is the director of Project Learning here in Zagreb, Croatia. He oversees our seminary training, our Bible school, Bible college training, as well as our Roma Bible school training. And Jovan, you are also a Master of Divinity student where you are studying at Knox Theological Seminary through our partnership with them. You also graduated from a Bible college here in Croatia for your undergrad degree. And Jovan, before we get into all the details of this, give us a quick background of really your understanding of the gospel, how you were trained in it, and so forth.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, the word gospel, evangelie, really evangelie in these areas, Balkans, is used a lot, the word, but it's not actually taught and explained the meaning of the true gospel. So growing in Protestant churches and going to various churches, I have heard the word gospel, and then people say something which was not the gospel. Even in seminary, I graduated in
the seminary, Bible college.
Bible
You're
college.
In seminary
yes.
now, yeah.
I'm now in seminary.
The Bible. Actually, for the listening audience, very often the word Bible college and seminary is used interchangeably here in the Balkans. But for our understanding, especially if you're there in the United States, there obviously is a difference. Jovan had graduated from an undergrad Bible college, is now currently getting his master's degree through a seminary.
Yes, thank you for the explanation. Yeah. Well, even in the Bible college, we were studying the gospels and what is gospel. But really, I never knew what is the gospel. And I knew only that is good news, something good, something which Jesus was teaching his disciples, something which eventually will lead you to salvation. But I never realized what is the gospel until I came Gospel on the Go Ministries, Lighthouse of Light Church. And one day, Andrew is teaching us the gospel. Totally different, totally new, that I never knew before that the gospel was containing bad news and good news. So, I mean, many people study Bible schools, go, you know, to churches, and unfortunately...
And even preach.
Even preach something which is not the whole and complete gospel.
Well, and it's interesting, but, you know, I know the listening audience is probably like kind of shaking their head and going, wait a second here. Who are you guys to say that, you know, the full, complete gospel is not being preached or taught? You know, I go to church every Sunday and my pastor is always preaching the gospel. Well, let me kind of give you a little bit of a background here. My pastor, he since has gone home to be with the Lord. His name was Dr. David Nicholas, one of the greatest, most godly men and most powerful preachers I'd ever known. Before he had gone home to be with the Lord, he wrote a book that was entitled, or actually is entitled, Whatever Happened to the Gospel. Now, if you've never read this book, I would strongly recommend it. I've had all of our students here read it. And in this book, Dr. Nicholas engaged Lifeway Research of Nashville, Tennessee, to do an independent survey. And basically, Lifeway Research surveyed over 450 sermons delivered in churches across the country in the United States. Churches that were large and small, denominational and non-denominational churches, to see if, how often the bad news and the good news of the gospel were being clearly and meaningfully and understandably proclaimed. Now, Lifeway Research survey revealed that, get ready now, 86% of pastors only mentioned one or two points of the bad news, good news proclamation of the gospel, and only 6% of the pastors explained and applied all the points. So watch, let me just repeat this. 86% of pastors mentioned at least one of the points. Only 6% mentioned the complete points of the gospel, meaning that according to this survey, 94% of pastors, and again, this survey was done in the United States, 94% of pastors are presenting an incomplete picture of God's work on our behalf through Jesus Christ. According to Dr. David Nicholas, they are presenting a garbled and sketchy gospel, which is no gospel at all. And as crazy as those percentages sound, I mean, 94%, when I read this, I'm like, oh, come on, David. 94%, according to this survey, in the United States, guys that are trained, most of them Bible college, seminary training, 94% of the guys preaching were presenting an incomplete, sketchy, and garbled gospel. Now watch. So, Dr. David Nicholas not only employed Lifeway Research to do this study. In addition to that, the church that my wife Danielle and I used to go to, Dr. David Nicholas's church, Spanish River Church in Boca Raton, in addition to the Lifeway Research study, he also raised up people from Spanish River Church who we trained, and they surveyed over 500 sermons. So Lifeway Research did over 450, Spanish River Church did over 500 sermons. So you had two different surveys going. And the results from Spanish River Church showed basically the same percentages that Lifeway Research showed. And many of the sermons that the people at Spanish River Church listened to and surveyed, these were sermons that were delivered in the 100 largest churches in the United States during Christmas and Easter. And yet the survey showed in the 100 largest churches in the United States during prime time, Christmas and Easter, the gospel, only 6% of the preachers were presenting a true, complete, understandable gospel. Jovan, your thoughts on that?
Well, when I came first time to your ministry and you asked me, what is the gospel? And I was thinking all these messages and teachings before which I had, and I could not find the answer. I didn't know. So if I had not come and I have not read the book which you suggested me to read, and if you didn't train me, probably I would be one of those percentage of pastors.
And guess what? If Dr. David Nicholas didn't train me, I would have been one of those guys too. It's crazy when you look at this. Am I right?
Yes.
Now, again, these are numbers in the United States. You're here from the Balkans. What do you think those percentages are?
I think maybe same, if not higher, because while, now it's not popular that people speak self-help messages, people speak how to do messages, people speak pastors, teachers speak how to succeed in life. But to be honest, they don't mention the gospel. And it's not only Christmas and Easter, it's every week. So I don't know, when people go in front to pray and raise hands for prayer.
Or do altar calls,
I don't know what they're receiving and what they're praying for, really, to be honest. Because looking my mind and my life, and I was going to various evangelical Protestant churches. What about all those people? Because majority here in Balkans are either Catholics or Orthodox. What, I mean, they don't have in the liturgies of their concept even preaching the gospel. So they're just reading from the books. And so I think the percentages are much higher.
Wow. And so if in fact these percentages are relatively true, I mean, again, I don't have any reason to doubt them. I mean, you think about this. That means that in the United States, again, according to these surveys, that means that 94% of pastors do not mention a logical, sequential, complete explanation of the bad news and good news in their sermons. And Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, the power of salvation is where, Jovan?
In the gospel.
That means that God has ordained that through the proclamation, the clear proclamation of the gospel, God in his grace works powerfully to take people from spiritual death to spiritual life. How? Through the proclamation of the gospel. Now, let me just clarify this. Does God need us, Jovan, to save souls?
No.
Does God need you and me to clearly proclaim the gospel in order to save souls?
No.
Right. God is the one who has power. He doesn't need us, right? Yes. But again, Romans 1:16, it's very clear. It is through the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. That means, what does that mean, the righteousness of God? The bad news first. Because in order to want to understand the good news, what do you have to understand, Jovan?
The bad news.
Right. And that means that we have to be able to help have people clearly understand the bad news. The righteousness of God is revealed first through the bad news and then through the good news. Now, if in fact 94% of the guys preaching in the States, and at least that number or higher here in the Balkans, if they're not presenting this, I guess here's the question. Are people going to all these churches really saved? And again, I want to be very, very careful with that. I'm not God, and I'm not going to limit God. But I tell you, this book is sobering, isn't it, Jovan?
Yes.
So, and I love how Dr. Nicholas, in his book, uses the example that, well, as you said, Jovan, you'll hear the word grace in a lot of messages. You'll hear what else?
Gospel. I will hear mercy of God, salvation of God. But what does it mean?
Right. You hear Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
Jesus loves you.
Right. You even hear we're sinners, right?
Yes.
Okay. But you're not hearing this, at least again, according to the survey, in 94% of the messages, you're not hearing a clear, sequential, and very understandable proclamation of the bad news, good news, right?
Right, yeah.
So you'll hear a lot of the buzzwords around the gospel. Again, what? Grace.
Grace, mercy, love, salvation, and everything which makes people to feel good and accepted by God.
Right. But, again, he uses this illustration in the book. I mean, if you're going to give directions to somebody to go from point A to point B, you're going to give them very clear, logical, and sequential directions so they're able to arrive safely, right?
Yes.
Well, it's the same thing when we are trying to point people to Jesus and salvation. This is the most important, these are the most important directions we could ever give somebody. They need to be clear. They need to be logical. They need to be sequential. Again, not robotic, not legalistic, but to be able to point people to Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
So, do preachers actually preach the gospel of salvation? Welcome back from our break, and I've got Jovan Stojcevic with me. And as we were talking on the first end here, we've talked about the survey from Lifeway Research that says basically 94% of pastors do not mention a logical, sequential, complete explanation of the bad news and good news. And then Dr. David Nicholas says, based upon this, this means that the overwhelming majority of pastors have concluded that the gospel is basically Christianity 101. And that they believe that their people who come to their churches are way, way beyond that. Ouch. Jovan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think many pastors and even churches just say the name gospel, or you heard the gospel and they call people in the altar call. That means automatically that people will understand, because they come with the presuppositions as trained people in Bible schools and seminaries. So they say, if they say just the word gospel, evangelia, people will understand and they will accept Jesus.
But so basically, we as preachers, because you're a preacher and I'm a preacher, we're good at using Christianese.
Yes.
A lot of Christian words, assuming that the non-believer is going to get it, right?
Yes, and that is the sad part. And also, like we discussed, and also many times that which bothered me, and I was condemning myself because I could not share good the gospel. But what was the gospel then? I was expecting people to respond, and then if they respond, if they pray, if 10 people prayed, 20 people prayed, then I really shared the gospel and really got the job. And I was taught that that God wait people to make decisions, but that is also wrong, because if God wants to save someone, as we said in the beginning, he can save without us. But many times pastors think that people can save themselves by saying the magic words or they pray the prayer of salvation. And unfortunately, they don't share the bad news and the good news.
Right, right, right. And it's very interesting. Again, you know, when you talk about the logical, sequential, clear explanation of the gospel, it's the same way. A lot of people have asked me many times, Andrew, which route do you and Danielle take when you fly from South Florida to Croatia? Well, obviously I tell them, well, first of all, we go from Miami and then we fly over to Philadelphia and then we go to Detroit and then we fly to California, Hawaii, then we go to China, Korea, we end up in Zurich, then we eventually end up in Croatia. Is that clear? Does that help a person know how to get to Croatia?
No.
No! I'm going all over the place. But what if I said to somebody, we go from Miami to Zurich, Switzerland, from Zurich, Switzerland to Zagreb, Croatia. Is that pretty clear?
Clear.
Yeah, let me ask you, can you repeat it?
Yes, from Miami to Zurich, Switzerland, and from Zurich to Zagreb, Croatia.
Wow, have you ever flown from the United States?
No.
Okay, well, one time you did from New York, right?
Yeah.
From Miami. Have you ever flown from Miami?
No.
Yet you know the route now. What's the route?
From Miami to Zurich, Switzerland, and from Zurich to Zagreb, Croatia.
Whoa, was that pretty clear?
Yes.
Was it pretty concise? Was it pretty logical?
Yes.
Well, if I can give you clear directions on that type of flight, which really in the big scheme of things is not that important, should I not feel obligated as a pastor preacher? Should not you, should not other pastors preachers feel obligated to clearly present the full gospel?
Yes.
Because otherwise, if these statistics are true, guys are presenting the way of salvation from Miami to Philadelphia to Detroit to California to Hawaii to China, Korea, Zurich, Croatia. What? And so we've used this phrase, bad news, good news. Yovan, why don't you explain to the listening audience what that means? Because really, as you said earlier, the word evangelism, right, means what?
A gospel, radosna vijest, the joyful news, right. Evangelion in Greek.
Right. The gospel means good news. But in order to understand the good news, a person must first understand what?
The bad news.
And what is the bad news? There are 5 points. Now, let me just be very clear to the listening audience. Please, we are not trying to teach a robotic legalistic system. What we're simply saying is this is the most important news, the most important directions you can ever give somebody, especially a non-believer, because the Bible says they come into this world spiritually what?
Dead.
So, what the good news, unless you clearly present to them
the bad news?
Yes. So, what are the 5 points of the bad news?
Well, the 5 points of the bad news is that the first, God has a problem with us.
And what is that problem?
The problem is that all of us come to this world as sinners, separated from God, spiritually dead, because of Adam and Eve, our first parents who sinned, and we inherit that sinful nature. And what means that sinful nature is that we are spiritually separated from God, and we cannot do nothing with our own strength to change the situation.
Okay, so number one, God has a problem with us. We are
sinners.
Number two, unlike us,
God is just and perfect.
That he cannot accept us the way we are. He is holy, we're not holy. He is perfect, we are imperfect. That's point number two. Point number one is?
Point number one, that we are sinners. God has a problem with us because we are sinners. We are sinful, separated from him.
Number two?
God is just and perfect.
And number three?
God is just judge. He must punish every sin.
that we've ever committed or will ever commit. That's point number three. Point number four, the punishment for sin is?
The punishment for sin is death, eternal damnation, which we know as hell.
And then point number five?
Good works don't work.
That means we cannot pay. Did you guys listen to that? Listening audience, by the way, you see how quickly those 5 points are? Number one, God has a problem with us. We are all sinners in God's sight. Point number two, unlike us, God is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous. Thus, he cannot accept us the way we are. Point number three, God is also just, meaning he's a just judge who must punish every sin we've ever committed or will ever commit. Point number four, the punishment for sin is death, eternal damnation. That's called hell. And point number five, the news gets even worse. Good works don't work. There's nothing we can do through our own efforts to get ourselves out from under this bad, horrific news. Do you think that's pretty clear?
Yes.
Do you think that it's logical, sequential?
Yes.
Do you think it's very easy not only to proclaim, but also for another person to be able to repeat?
Yes.
It's very interesting. We do a lot of work with the Roma gypsy population here in Croatia, right? How many villages are we working with now?
Three villages.
Three villages. We're working with, I don't know how many people we work with, young children, teenagers, adults, and so forth. Now, the Roma, they are considered what, educated or uneducated?
Very uneducated.
Okay. The Roma, are they considered very, do they understand Christianese or not?
Well, not so much.
Right, because they are pretty much not accepted in the churches,
yes.
Right? Okay, so here we are. Now we have three churches in our three Roma village. We have three Bible schools there. We've got all kinds of children's programs. And these Roma, who everybody says are uneducated, they're irreligious, they're not church-type people. What if we were to ask them to repeat the bad news, Jovan?
They will know very well.
We could wake them up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
What could they do?
They will tell the bad news.
And in absolute sequential logical order. And isn't it interesting? What is happening in all of our Romi villages?
People are getting saved. They understand what is the gospel. And they change their lives.
Yeah, they didn't. God did through, but
yes.
It's the gospel.
Yes.
And it's our Romans who are presenting it. So we talked about the bad news, right? What comes after the bad news?
The good news.
Now, why do we first present the bad news? Well, let me ask you, Jovan. Did you go to the doctor today?
No.
Why?
Because I'm healthy.
Okay, so you did not see a need to seek help. You did not see a need to go seek a cure.
Yes.
Because
I'm healthy. I don't have a problem right now.
You don't have a problem right now. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to Jesus. People must first understand their need to want to come to the Lord for healing, help, salvation. And again, that's why, again, if you listen to a lot of messages from good, godly preacher pastors, they'll only give part of the news. Which part do they usually give?
Good.
Yes. Come to Jesus. He loves you. Come to Jesus. He'll save you by his grace. Come to Jesus, he'll change your life. Are these all true statements?
They are.
But are they complete?
No, something is missing here.
Right. Why would somebody come to Jesus unless they first understood how much trouble they were in with God? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. We went through the bad news, 5 points. Let's go through the good news. Let me just repeat the bad news. Number one, God has a problem with us. We're all sinners. Number two, God is holy, righteous. Unlike us, he cannot accept us the way we are. Number three, God is also just. He's a just judge. He must punish every sin. Number four, the punishment for sin is death, eternal damnation. That's called hell. Point number five, there's nothing we can do through our own works to get out from under that. That's the bad news. Now the good news.
God is love.
Now, interesting. Most guys will preach this. God is love. But what is their definition of God's love? Many times it's like, well, God, they present this picture of God as like this grandfatherly type of deity who on that day when you're standing before him, he says, you know, I know that you sinned. I know that you don't worry about it. Come on in. I love you. I love you. That is not the definition of God's love. The true definition of God's love is point number two. God is love. And how did God demonstrate his love?
By providing substitution for our sins.
by raising up a substitute, someone who would be punished in our place for our sins. Point number three, who's that substitute?
Jesus, God the Son.
Right. Why Jesus? We need a perfect, sinless substitute who will be punished for our imperfections. Well, who's perfect? Didn't we learn that in the bad news, point number two? God is holy, righteous, and perfect. Aha, now I get it. That's why Jesus. So point number one of the bad news, God is love. Point number two, God raised up a substitute who would be punished in our place for our sins. Who's that substitute? Jesus. Why Jesus? He's God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, right? Point number four, and this is important.
God the Father placed and punished Jesus on the cross instead of us.
God the Father, okay, put our sins on Jesus and then punished Jesus in our place is our substitute. Jesus died. Why? The punishment for sin is
that
we learn that in point number four of the bad news, right? God the Father placed our sins on Jesus, punished Jesus in our place. Jesus died the death we deserve. What happened 3 days later?
He rose from the dead.
Meaning he overcame sin and death for us. Point number five. And Jesus offers us salvation as a
gift.
That's why it's called
mercy.
Grace.
Grace.
And mercy. And how do we receive that?
We need to turn from the false thinking that we could deserve the salvation. We need to turn from that, which is through the faith in Jesus, by accepting that gift that everything is done for us and on our behalf on the cross.
So it's turning from our faulty way of thinking and turning to Jesus. That's called repentance and faith, and putting our faith and trust in Jesus alone. Do you see how easy that is? Bad news, good news. Clear, logical, sequential. Listening audience, listen next time to the sermons. Listen clearly. Is the full gospel, bad news, good news, truly being presented?
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.